Welcome to the ETS podcast, where we are facing the challenge and shaping the future.
Greetings and thank you for joining our class and our continued study of the Holy Scripture today. In our last session, we discussed biblical illiteracy versus biblical literacy. We defined more biblical illiteracy in our last session. So what I want to do today, I really want to talk to you about what is biblical literacy? I would open by saying this. I think if we're going to talk about biblical literacy, that we need to move beyond just seeing it as the result of merely acquired knowledge about the Bible. You see, literacy has typically referred to the ability to read or the ability to communicate. But I'm really of the opinion that biblical literacy not only would include just the ability to read, but it would also include the ability to retain those things that you read through and by memorization with the ability to recall. Biblical literacy involves the ability to create meaning from what we have read and from what has been written. So what is biblical literacy? Well, I would say to you that biblical literacy is about more than facts. It's not just facts and the ability to recall them, but it's the ability to use those facts to create meaning in life. Let me say that again. It's not just facts and the ability to recall the facts. That's just head knowledge. It's going to drop from your mind into your spirit. But it's the ability to use them to create meaning about life, about God, about the world, and about my place in this world. You see, it's one thing. It's one thing to read a book. It's another thing to be able to recall facts that were contained within the book, but then it's quite another thing entirely to allow the narrative itself contained in that book to shape your life, to shape your thinking, to shape your action, to shape your conduct, to shape your attitude. You see, when I began to understand biblical literacy, I've got to recognize the very fact that it moves beyond my ability just to recall facts through memorization. It's got to drop out of my mind. It's got to get into my spirit so that it literally begins to produce change in who I am, and it begins to shape my thinking, and thus it begins to shape my life. You see, that's true biblical literacy. Then I would say to you that biblical literacy is more than a game of trivia. I can remember when I was a young man. I mean, 10, 12 years old, we would play a game of trivia, Bible trivia, in our church on Wednesday night. We would all line up in the front, and we would have our Bibles, and we would be asked a question, and the first person that could answer the question, well, obviously, they won. Or they would simply throw a scripture out there, and we were to find the scripture, and then we were to read it. You see, biblical literacy is more than a game of trivia. Trivia involves facts. However, trivia excludes the meaning behind those facts. Our world today, it's not starved for more facts. We are enamored by the amount of information that is around us, that is provided for us. What the world is starving for today, it's starving for meaning. Biblical literacy seeks after purpose. It seeks after a purpose-driven meaning or the cause that would impact life and ministry, thus shaping our life and shaping who we are. Then I would add to that that biblical literacy is more than scholarship. You see, you can become a biblical scholar, but that will never make you a Christian. It will just simply make you a biblical scholar. Facts alone, you can know the facts, but facts will never change your life just because I have knowledge in my head. You see, biblical change comes when spiritual revelation gives meaning to the text that is found within the heart the people. It's dropped out of my mind. It's got into my spirit. It's within my heart. And through and by the work of the power of the Holy Spirit within me, the Holy Spirit begins to reveal to me the true meaning of life. And then it begins to shape my thinking, and it begins to shape who I am, so that spiritual revelation gives meaning to the text. And in turn, the facts are applied, and I personally began to use them in the way that I live. And an outward expression of the inward experience can be seen by others. So with that said, we recognize that there's obviously an issue of biblical illiteracy among our nations, and facts have proven, as we have read many of those, that there has been a steady decline over the past 100 years. So if that is really the case, what would we say are the factors that most attribute to the decline of biblical literacy within the lives, the hearts of the Christian community? Let me go through a number of things that I think should be considered in this type of discussion. First of all, this would be number one among our young people today. They would simply look at you and say, it has to do with distractions. There's things which simply distract us. There's just the availability of so many things. And I must admit, the availability of things, and obviously we're not there when I was a young man. Such things as social networking, such things as cell phones, such things as texting. There's always things to do. If we are not careful, we will find ourselves carrying these smartphones with us everywhere we go, and constantly they're interrupting us. Text messages, emails, phone calls, notifications, distractions, and we're not focusing upon the Word like we one time were. Then I would add to that entertainment. There's all sorts of entertainments out there today: gaming, cable TV, movies, different networks, etc., etc. The list continues and goes on. Obviously, with the enormous amount of entertainment readily available at our fingertips, we find our mind moving in different directions instead of focusing on the Word of God, as one time the church did. Then I would also say career success. We're constantly changing within our lives and being motivated to study and to pursue a new line of work ethics or career. I am told in specialized studies that in my lifetime, I would only have maybe two or three different career changes. In the lives of my sons, I've come to understand that they're expected to change careers quite possibly four times within their life. My grandchildren, my grandsons, well, I'm told that they will probably change careers as many as eight times, in all probability at least six, because of the evolution of things, because of the changing world, the constantly changing world that we live in. So that in order for me to continue in the work field or the workforce, then I have to begin to study new areas of career lines which absorb my time and take away my studies from the Word of God. And then can I add to that financial increase? Well, obviously, I'm making more money than did my father. My father more than his. My sons, obviously, I trust will do much better than I. But financial success and then medical care, which is readily available, has made individuals more dependent upon themselves than dependent upon God. Thus, we're not praying as we one time prayed, nor are we as dependent upon the Word as we maybe one time were. I would also add to that today there is an enormous amount of available Bible studies and Bible aids, helps, study guides. I know this sounds odd. Such things as cross-references, lexicons, commentaries, word studies. And you can say, well, how could that hinder? How could that hinder one's study or pursuit of Scripture? Well, obviously, I'm very thankful for it. I've got to say that. But if you're a newfound Christian and you do not have a mentor or someone to lead and guide you into the studies, if you're not careful, you will see this enormous amount of information, and literally you will not know where to begin with all of the information that is provided. As unusual as that sounds, that emerges as being one of the leading factors of biblical illiteracy. We just really don't know where to start anymore. There's more than just reading the Bible. You have commentaries, lexicons, word studies, study guides, special helps. We become confused. Then number five. This is quite an unusual statement, but still needs to be understood and pointed out. To many, the Bible has become a collection of chapter and verses rather than a narrative. And I cannot begin to impart to you the importance of that word, narrative. The Bible has become a collection of chapter and verses rather than a narrative. You see, chapter indicators, they appeared around the 9th century. Verse markings, well, they appeared somewhere around the 16th century. And you can take something as innocent as these chapter indicators or these verse markings. And most people just simply think that when the Bible was written, it was written that way. No, it wasn't written that way. Actually, as I've said already, the chapter indicators appeared around the 9th century, and verse markings or numbers would have appeared somewhere around the 16th century. And while numbers markings have added to our ability to flow through Scripture and to refer to certain passages of Scripture specifically, even parts of Scripture, it also has allowed us to remove those Scripture from the context completely. Now, I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and this is one thing that I readily see within the Church of Jesus Christ. Individuals who will attempt to prove a point about Scripture, and they will begin to use Scripture completely out of context. Now, I must admit that when I preach, I will bring verses of Scripture from different portions of the Bible. But I find that many people will use those Scriptures out of the original context or narrative that they were intended to be understood in to try to prove another point, thus using them completely and absolutely out of context. And if we're not careful, the Bible will become a collection of verses rather than a flowing narrative. We attempt to make it so personalized that it can become only a sad shadow of what it was intended to be. And many will argue this, that the long-term accumulation of all of these additives, the long-term accumulation has turned the Bible into something that it was never meant to be. This is an important statement. The Bible is not a reference book. It's a flowing narrative. The Bible is not the accumulation or the collection of some 30,000 or 40,000 points of truth that one is to search out. Biblical literacy has to begin with not the accumulation of truth points, but with reading and understanding and finding meaning behind the flowing narrative within that Scripture. It begins with reading, of course. It begins with hearing, but eventually you have to ask the question, why? And you don't get the answer until you take it into consideration as it flows in chapter to chapter to chapter to chapter. This is something that I really fear. I fear that if we're not careful, that we will currently think of biblical literacy as the end rather than a means to the end. What I simply mean by that is that biblical literacy can easily become another form of works of righteousness. If all I'm attempting to do is study the facts and accumulate a chronological list of do's and don'ts that can easily become nothing more than a form of the works of righteousness. But when I began to understand the scripture and the flowing narrative as it was presented by the author, then it can become something completely different. Because you see, biblical literacy does not make knowledge the end. Biblical literacy will simply make the reading and the understanding of the Word of God a means to what the Holy Spirit would say to us and where God would lead us. Do you remember the vision of Ezekiel chapter 3, the prophet of God? God spoke to Ezekiel there in a vision, and this is what God said. God said, I want you to eat the Word. I want you to literally ingest the Word. Read it. It's a unique thing. Ezekiel is going to take the Word of God, and he is going to literally ingest it, swallow it. It gets on the inside of him. And when it got on the inside of him, it was then that God said, now it's on the inside. Now you can express the meaning of the scripture to my people. Knowing the facts is not enough. Reading, gleaning, gaining information, all of those things are important. I'm not trying to minimize that. I just want you to understand that it's got to drop out of your mind, get into your spirit, through and by the Holy Spirit. It's got to begin to shape your life, shape your thinking, shape your attitude, shape the way you walk, shape the way that you talk. Don't just draw one scripture here to try to prove a point here. Make sure that you understand that verse of scripture in the flowing narrative that it was intended to be presented by that author. Because the Bible, it's not a reference book. No. It's a flowing song. Heavenly Father, help us to understand the scripture. Give us meaning. I pray, Heavenly Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would reveal to us the intent and the purpose behind the things which we read that are recorded by holy men. And we will give you glory, honor, and praise for it. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. And amen.
Thanks for listening to the ETS podcast. For more information, visit our website at www.ets-kanibus.de.